Good morning, everybody. Okay, now y'all sound like me on a cold winter morning. Let's try it again. Good morning, everyone. All right. So I'm Darius, one of the pastors here at Antioch. So we'll be closing out the fourth chapter of Philippians and our entire series in Philippians. But before we get started, I'm going to pray for us again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your name is great, Lord. Lord, we ask that you decrease us, allow your anointing to flow through this message today, that we can learn something of you and apply it to our lives. Lord, wherever there are dry bones, we ask that you breathe life into us. We thank you for all you have done and the things that you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So, just a little refresher on the book of Philippians, if you haven't been with us for the whole time. So, the book of Philippians was written by a man named Paul, and it was written while he was in prison on, before I forget. You know what? I normally won't forget because I have a lot of kids, but I don't have that many in that age range anymore. So, I don't mean I'm getting old. But K2, you can be dismissed. So I have one. And there he goes. Okay. Sorry, little ones. I'm normally back there, and people are sending them to me. But Philippians. So written by a man named Paul while he was on a life and death trial in prison, a Roman prison, waiting for his trial before the emperor. It was written to the church in Philippi, a colony of Rome. It was a colony of Rome in a region of Macedonia, which is now the northern part of Greece. And so, as we heard from Andy for the last couple of weeks, while waiting for this trial for his life, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and he went on such topics. In his letter about joy, obedience, faith in Christ alone for our salvation, the peace of God, and in the verses that we're going to be looking at today, he talks about contentment, really the key for contentment, what he has found to be the key for contentment. So let's read the scripture and then we'll get started. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I speak of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my need once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. To our God, the Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, so our title of our message today is Finding Contentment in All of Life's Circumstances. We all can relate in some way of being a little discontent over dealing with everything that has happened over our city and our country and the world, really, over this last year and a half. It might have showed itself in our lives as a need or want for more safety, stability, material items, or good health. The feeling and thought of not having what we want or need sometimes can leave us discontent and unhappy. And it can leave us blind to the things that we already have in our life, especially the good things that Jesus has already done for us. Being content is no small task. Especially when it comes to going through disheartening situations, it can be really hard and difficult. No one is immune to this. I myself have struggled with it over the years. There's not a day that don't go by that I'm not in pain every single moment of the day. And that sometimes can lead me to struggle with discontentment on the things I can do and I can't do. Paul himself was no stranger to disheartening situations and circumstances. Even as a successful missionary, he planted churches, started churches, he ministered, healed people, but he still had troubles and went through things that was disheartening. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, we hear a little bit about some of these situations. It says this: 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure of my anxiety for all the churches. Yet, after going through all of this, he's now in prison while writing this letter. Paul says, I can be content. So we must ask ourselves this question. As followers of Christ, how do we be content in a world filled with discontentment? Through the book of Philippians, I see that Paul lays out 3 ways that we can be content. 3 ways that really he found contentment and we also can be content. The first way that we see is God's provision through the church. We see that in verses 10, 14 through 18. The Philippian church had a genuine love for Paul. They had a love for Paul and they had a dedication to the ministry and the circumstances that he was in. They came together as the body of Christ and they partnered with him to spread the gospel and to meet whatever needs they could of his. This is what God's church does. This is what the church of Christ looked like. This is what we built to do. In John 13 and 35, Jesus tells us this: by this all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. And we see this. They had a love for Paul. They said, we're going to meet all of whatever needs we could of yours. We're going to partner with you. We see God's provision through the church for Paul in 2 ways. The first way we see the church gives financial support. In verse 10, Paul shows his gratitude that the Philippians sent him money and support. Paul thanks the church for the financial support that they gave him. And he says that you were the only church that partnered with me. So he had a deep gratitude for that. Verse 14 and 16 says this: yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So he said the financial giving that you get was crucial to my partnership in spreading the gospel. The second way we see God's provision through his church is we see the church give physical support. Verses 17 and 18, Paul says that he thanks them for the aid of a physical person to care for his needs. He didn't thank them so he can get more help. He said, I'm actually thanking you, and I want to bring it to your knowledge because the work that you have done in giving me financial help, the work you have done in sending people to care for my needs, there is a reward that you will reap. And that's the souls, because of my work, that will give their life to Jesus. There is a heavenly reward for your partnership in sending me aid. Paul shared the fact that he was not longing for any material need. He was content with the support from the family of God. And that sticks out, because one thing about Paul is Paul was a single guy who dedicated his life to sharing the gospel. That's all he did. Once he became a follower of Jesus, that's all he put his work into. And because of Paul's singleness, he was able to do things that other people couldn't do. And sometimes in Christian circles, intentionally and unintentionally, sometimes singleness can be looked down upon, or at least it can be felt that way. But Paul's singleness was a gift. In 1 Corinthians 7, after giving some principles for marriage, Paul says this: I wish that all of you were as I am, meaning single, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them to, just as God has called them. So Paul is saying singleness can be a call and a gift from God. We see it echoes a teaching from Jesus in Mark 10. Jesus was teaching on marriage and divorce and people living a life as a eunuch or without the possibility of having a family. And he says that they're going to live this life for various reasons, one being for the kingdom of God. Then the disciples come to Jesus with a complaint, usually. And he says, and they say, well, what will we get? We have left our wives, our families, our friends, our homes. What will we get for giving our life up for you and the gospel? And Jesus says this in Mark 10 and 29 and 30. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time households and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. The church of Philippi was that hundredfold family for Paul. He didn't have children, he didn't have wife, he didn't have family. But because he dedicated his life to the gospel, the church became that family for him. It was that hundredfold blessing in this life. And the church is that for us today. It is that extended family of God. And God uses that family to provide, to do provisions for his church, for his people. About 4 years ago, due to some medical conditions, I have too many to name, but I fell asleep behind the wheel while driving off all of my kids home from school on 35W, going about 50 miles an hour. I remember being awake, and then I don't remember anything after that. And I wake up to being on the side of the road. I don't know how, by the grace of God, somehow God's hand was over his. There's a funny saying that people say, take the wheel, Jesus, but I think he really did, because next thing I know, I was on the side of the road and I was in a fender bender. It should have been much worse. But because of that, I couldn't drive for a few months until I had a lot of testing done and I was on some medication. But because of life circumstances, my immediate family couldn't help me out. I still had 5 kids to get to school every day. And so my immediate family couldn't help, but then my church family here at Antioch stepped in, particularly 2 people, Anna and Scott here at Antioch stepped in. Because of Scott's singleness, he did the majority of the work. He came to my house, picked up my van, went to my kids' school, and drove them home every day. And when he couldn't, Anna helped with that. Scott's singleness allowed him to do what my family couldn't and what others couldn't. It was a gift from God, and it was a gift to my family, which we are ever grateful for that. And so God provides for his people, through the church. We are a family, and we step in for each other. And that's the design of this church. That's why we say we are a loving family inviting all people. We are inviting people to be loved on, to show Christ's love. The second way we can be content is God's provision of his peace. Remember, Paul says in verse 11, and remember at this time, Paul is in prison, waiting for a trial for his life. He could have let the stress of being in prison and his situation consume his heart and mind. And or he could have let his heart and mind be guarded by Christ. He chose the latter. By not letting the ups and downs of life crush him and his current situation, he didn't let anxiety take hold. He took all of his concerns to God through earnest prayer and humbleness and thanksgiving. The Greek word for content is outerkase. It means sufficient or strong enough, possessing enough to need no aid or support, or independent from external circumstances. Paul expresses that he was not in desperate need or tremendously seeking help, even though he was chained in prison 24 hours a day by a guard. Why does he say this? He speaks of it, of why he can say he needed no support or aid. He speaks of this in Philippians 4 and 6 and 7. He says this in this prayer and command: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul commands three things. We should be anxious for nothing. Why? Because God is in control of everything. Pray about everything. Why? Because our God wants to know and cares about everything we're going through. And be thankful for all things. Why should we be? Because God is working in all situations and circumstances. In the book of Lamentations, it was written after the first destruction of Jerusalem. The people of Israel had issues. We're just gonna say it at that. After losing their homes and possessions and some of their lives, split from family, taken into exile away from their homeland, some people even felt abandoned by God. Most likely they was discontent. I wouldn't be happy, but. But Lamentations 3 and 24 says this: I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The peace of God gives enough aid and strength, making peace and contentment possible in disheartening circumstances and situations. We got to choose to focus on his peace and choose to wait for his salvation. And that allows us to be content. That allows us to focus on being thankful, focus on prayer, focus on not letting anxiety take over us. And that's only done through giving it over to Jesus and receiving, accepting his peace. The third reason why we can be content is God's provision of perseverance and endurance. We see that in 12 and 13. Throughout the letter of Philippians, Paul has been planting the seed to call the church and believers to persevere. We see it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, verse 27 of chapter 1, Philippians 3 and 16, and Philippians 4 and 1. The biblical word means for endurance, perseverance. It means to stand firm in one's faith. Through godliness, morally correct behavior or thinking. Through perseverance, one can persist the situations in life and be content. Paul says in 12 and 13, "For I have learned in whatever state I am there to be content. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need." So it's like, what is he talking about here? He has found this secret. What is this secret? So he says, I have learned. So learning something doesn't mean like I got it right away. It means it's a process. It means that we won't get it perfect or right away. Sorry, control freaks. It's not going to happen. So we must remember the word contentment means enough strength, possessing enough to not need you're independent from external circumstances. So what is the secret that has taught him? The secret that helps him be strong enough. Paul says it is going through the external situations and circumstances with the internal hope. That is counterintuitive of our culture. The world tries to make us think and teach us that we need aid and support from external things for our circumstances. It pushes us to be discontent with our lives, our possessions. It teaches us we should always want more or the next best thing. It teaches us that we should look for contentment in external circumstances and situations. One commentator named Stephen Fowle says this about 12 and 13. Paul can thrive in want and in plenty because he is strengthened by God. Not because he has achieved a measure of detachment. He presents a series of opposed pair of words to display the extremes of want and plenty. He begins by noting that he has known both want and abundance. While these two terms can describe a variety of types of wants and abundance, the subsequent mention of hunger and being well fed indicates that Paul is speaking of material circumstances. His attitude towards his material circumstances is more important than the nature of his experience of want and abundance. He has learned the secret of contentment in any and all circumstances. So we must ask ourselves, what are we delighting in? Is it our external circumstances and things? Or is it Christ? Spoiler alert. If our delight is not in Jesus, no matter how much or how little we have, it would never be enough. Contentment, delight, peace is only found in Christ. The world cannot offer enough. Paul has also been planting the seeds of endurance. The biblical word for endurance means to prevail, overcome, endure, have power, be able to, have the ability to have strength. And this is made possible not because we in and of ourselves are strong enough, but because Christ and we are abiding or enduring in him, which helps us to stand firm in our faith no matter what life throws our way. In verse 13, Paul states, "I can do all things through Christ." This is one of the top verses in the Bible, one of the top, that's taken out of context. We usually like to use it in the ways of like, I have the ability to do something. I can deadlift 100 pounds. Andy, Pastor CrossFit, as we like to call him. He's jacked. Come on, it's fine to admit it. So it's usually used in that, like, this ability to overachieve something. But in context, it's actually used, Paul uses it to say, it gives me the ability to be content in all circumstances or situations. It gives me the ability, through Christ, I have the ability to withstand and to stay firm in my faith, no matter the situation. By abiding or remaining or enduring in Christ, we access his strength. Jesus reminds us this in John 15 and 5. He reminds us by saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. What is Jesus saying there? He said, I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you are dead. But through me, you get life. You bear fruit. You can achieve these things through me. Which begs another question. How would standing firm and abiding in Christ change our outlook on our circumstances and situations? Would it allow us to be content? If Paul was here, he would say, no, duh, dummy. Of course. Paul says, yes, because we would realize that Christ is enough. Christ alone is enough for salvation. Christ alone is enough when we have little or if we have plenty. And he wants to be enough for us today. Whether we are a believer, which means one who hath placed their faith in Christ, in his sinless life, his death on the cross for our salvation and his resurrection, he wants to be enough for us believers. He also wants to be enough for if we haven't done that today. Don't wait. One of our leaders would love to walk with you if you have not done with that. We would love to walk with you in the next steps in doing that, taking that step today. The city of Philippi was a prosperous city, being a Roman colony. You just had privileges being a Roman colony. Yet the church of Philippi was poor. But they were rich because of their commitment to partnering to spread the gospel. They were rich because of their love for their fellow believer, Paul. They were rich in sending people to care for others. Verses 19 and through 23 says this. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul concludes this letter with a reminder, an encouragement, and a prayer to the church. He reminds them that God's resources are infinite and that he has more than enough to supply all of our needs. But coming to faith in Christ and trusting in Christ does not always mean that we're going to get everything we want or all of our needs will be met, because sometimes our wants and our needs are not in his will. In Romans 8 and 32, it says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God the Father took the next steps on our behalf, being willing to part with the great gift and the precious Jesus for our salvation. So we must ask ourselves, if God took the next steps, what is preventing me from taking the next steps today to finding contentment in Jesus? And what do I need to get rid of or let go of to be content? Maybe it's stop letting external things give us joy. Maybe it's going without the next best thing. Or maybe it's placing your trust and faith in Christ fully, or for the very first time today. Whatever it may be, we should know this, that he who did not spare his own son, through his infinite wisdom and judgment, he is ready and willing to give without reluctancy, without holding back. He's ready to give and meet us with his grace, his favor, giving us all things that he see fit to be needful and necessary for us, which most importantly is himself, which he has already given. We must be content in Jesus, and he is ready to receive us and bless us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the provisions we have through your body, Lord. Help us to be willing to accept those provisions. Help us be willing to step out and ask our family for support. We thank you for the peace we have found through your son. We thank you that you gave the precious gift of Jesus for our salvation, for our hope, for our joy. And Father, we thank you so much for your spirit endowing us, Lord, for your spirit strengthening us in spite of our external circumstances with endurance, the ability to stand firm in our faith, Lord, with the ability to persevere, to look towards you, Jesus, and not at our circumstances. Lord, help us to find contentment in you in spite of situations and circumstances. We thank you, Jesus, for all you have done. Amen.